absolute a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
Shall we be seated? Father, take over tonight. Let your name be glorified now and forever. Amen. So, keys to provoking a net-breaking miracle in this month of October. Keys to provoking a net-breaking miracle. Clap your two hands. Keys to provoking a net-breaking miracle. Keys to provoking a net-breaking miracle. Miracle, especially in this month of October. Luke chapter 5 verse 1, we are reading to verse 6. Luke chapter 5 verse 1 all the way to verse 6. Now I want to read with everyone here. Turn your Bibles, let's read one go. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Go on. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Read one go. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Amen. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Amen. Then verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. Amen. Oh, amen. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. Amen. Keys to provoking a net-breaking miracle. That is a miracle that is greater than you imagine. A miracle that will turn your situation around. A miracle that will affect your life, affect your business, affect your destiny, affect your children, affect your marital life. A miracle that will be so much for your hands to handle. I pray for everyone here that in this month of October, may something happen to you that will be so much for your hands to handle. If your amen is louder, God will do it for you. I said in this month of October, may a miracle happen that will be too or so much for your hands to handle. May something wonderful happen that it will take time for you to finish talking about it. It will take a lot of time. Say, I am the one. Or say, I am the one. So, the first key that we see at play here, this is a story about Jesus, and when he started his ministry, the Bible says that he was preaching by one of the water bodies in his town, the sea or the lake of Gennesaret. And there was a group of fishermen who had gone for fishing and had toiled all night and they had caught nothing. And if you know a little, if you have been to, I remember some years ago, just a few years ago, we embarked on a journey to Jamestown. I don't know if someone is here who was part of that journey. Yes, okay, so at least there is someone here part of that journey. We embarked on that journey to Jamestown. We decided to do what Jesus did, to go and preach at the seashore, just like we went to somewhere recently. Yeah, we went to the seashore. We just went to preach to fishermen and fishmongers. Yeah. How many of you love me to take you there one of these days for such an outreach? Yeah. It was fantastic. Yeah. I felt like Jesus walking on the shore. Yes. Yeah. Preaching to people who are washing their nets. You meet some people who are washing their nets. Then you understand the scripture better. Bible says that Jesus started preaching the word of God like we did. Started preaching and the crowd started gathering. Continued gathering, and very soon the crowd was so huge that they could not see him. They could not see him where he was standing, and his voice could not go far. So Jesus spoke to one of the fishermen who happened to be Simon or Peter and asked him, "Please, can I use your boat? I want something to stand on, like the way I'm standing on something. It helps me to see far. It helps people who are far away to see me. And also helps you to hear. Even if you can't hear my voice, by reading my lips, you are able to tell what I'm saying." So Jesus spoke to Peter, and Peter decided that. And meanwhile, Peter was washing his net. Okay? Out of frustration. Having worked the whole night. And you know, fishermen, they go for fishing at night. It's only people who are not fishermen who normally try to fish in the daytime. That one is for hobby. They just try to go and cast something and they are, you know, having some nice time. But real fishermen, they go for fishing at night. They don't go for fishing in the daytime. They go for fishing at night. Because, why? Because at night, the fishes that are deep in the ocean, they want light. They don't see well at night. So they want light. And because of the moonlight that appears, it has a way it illuminates the surface of the water for them. So most deep sea fishes come up so that they can see. So they are not too deep. So if you cast your net at night, you are likely to enclose a lot of fishes because they have left deep sea to come up the ocean so that they can use the moonlight to travel. I get the dynamism here. Good. So most fishermen, by the experience I've seen, that fishes are on top of the water or are near areas that you can easily catch at night. But by daytime, they don't need the moon anymore. Everything is clear, so they can go deep down and they can still see clearly. So fishermen don't fish at day, they fish at night. And so they had gone to fish all night. They had used all their techniques. And in that very morning, when Jesus had come, like we went, some were buying fish, some were selling fish, some were washing their nets, and so on and then so forth. And then Jesus was also preaching. So after Jesus finished preaching, then he now turned to Peter, and then he told Peter that, "Peter, why don't you launch out into the deep?" You see, it's like a way of appreciating Peter. Do you get it? Because Peter could have said, "I will not give you my boat." Perhaps Peter's boat was very big. Because the Bible even used the word ship. When you use the old King James, he even used the word ship. That means it was quite bigger than a small boat. But I believe it was a boat, just that it was quite huge. Not a simple boat. It was a ship, quite huge. You see, so the Bible says that Peter agreed to give his ship or boat to Jesus for that assignment or for that work. And so Jesus, in reciprocation, trying to be nice to Peter, or trying to reciprocate. And no, Jesus had an idea, had a plan already to turn Peter into a shepherd. Do you get it? A follower of men. So, but he wanted to do something nice to at least appreciate Peter for what Peter did. So he asked Peter that, Peter, cast your net into the deep. By this time, it was daytime. And no serious fisherman fishes in the day. Now, are you getting what was going on there? If you were Peter, will you do it? Because no fisherman fishes that day. They are washing their net. But Jesus told him that, Charlie, I want to reward you for what you have done. So just cast your net and let's catch some fish. Then Peter told him that, I am a fisherman. You are a carpenter. Your father Joseph is a carpenter. I, Peter, I am an old man. I'm far older than you. And I have been fishing from childhood. And now I believe that Peter will definitely be one of the executives of the fishing association by then. How many of you believe that this can be possible? Yeah, it can be very possible because Peter was outspoken. He talks his mind. He doesn't keep quiet. That's why he was the only one talking among the disciples. And Jesus said, let me make him the head because this guy, he likes talking. So Peter immediately retorted and said, young man, you have finished your preaching. I didn't ask you for money or for anything. I have been trying to catch fish all through the night. For you to know that I know when to fish. All through the night I've been trying. It's not this morning that the fishes have gone to sleep. That you say I should cast. But as he was speaking to Jesus, he had heard one or two miracles Jesus had done. Turning some water into wine and one or two somewhere. He has heard some one or two things that this Jesus has done. So he said, okay, you, even though I don't believe in what you are saying per my experience, at your word, I'll just try it. I'll just try it. Let me just do it, just because you said so. So he obeyed and then cast his net. And then the Bible said that when he tried to his surprise, he didn't know where the fishes came from. But they rushed from deep ocean and came to the surface and entered into the net. It's not the net that found them, they found the net. And entered into the net. Tell somebody about you, when God speaks, nature moves to support you. When God speaks, nature will have to move. It's not like, but by this time, I will not get any customer. No, no. When God speaks, nature obeys. People obey. The things that God has spoken about, they align. So cast into the deep. There is no fish to be caught around that time. But because Jesus spoke, the fishes arrived. May your blessings arrive. May your miracle arrive. May your blessings arrive. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Do it better. Do it better. You know, so how did Peter enclose such great bumper harvest or enclose such great number of fishes? There are some keys there. Number one is the key of favor. Is the key of favor. Now, my question is, was Peter the only fisherman there? When Jesus wanted to use someone's boat, he could have used any other big boat around. But somewhere, somehow, Peter found favor in his sight because he knew he was going to bless Peter afterwards. So Peter's business found favor in the sight of Jesus. Peter's life, Jesus could have used. Do you remember that when the net was breaking and the ship was sinking, the Bible says that they called their neighbors, James and John, with their father Zebedee, to come and help them so that they will put some of the fish into their boat. So Jesus could have used James and John's boat. Do you get it? And would have not heard anything about Peter. But favor located Peter. What is favor? Favor is being selected, be like receiving a preferential treatment, being light, being chosen for good things, getting to the right place at the right time for the right thing, it's called favor. I pray for everyone here that that thing called favor will start working for you. Let your amen be a believer's one. I said that thing called favor that caused Peter to be selected among the many fishermen, may that thing fall upon your own life. May it come upon your own destiny. May it change your own business. So Simon was selected by favor. He caught the attention of Jesus. I pray for you that you will catch the attention of Jesus. That you will catch the attention of your destiny helpers. That you will catch the attention of the people that has that have a key to your destiny. People that have a key to your lifting, to your glory, that they will remember you. It is an act of favor. When you don't have favor, you'll be forgotten. When you lack favor, you'll be forgotten. But when you get favor, you'll be remembered. In this month of October, may you be remembered. I'm speaking over somebody's life. I said, may you be remembered. Among your peers, people who are supposed to bless you, among great men, people who are supposed to favor you, may you be remembered in the name of Jesus. Wherever your destiny has been forgotten, or someone promised you and have pretended to forget, or someone who could have helped you has kind of forgotten. You see, sometimes I realize that there are people I could have helped, but I've forgotten. It is when that thing in my hands or that opportunity goes away, before I remember that, oh, I could have helped this person. Recently, I was telling one lady in the church that, you cry, no? It has never occurred to me that you are into this profession. But she has been with me for 4 to 5 years in this church. And she's into lab work, laboratory work. And amazingly, she's close to me, but it has never occurred to me that I could have gotten her a job or that one. Never. That's never occurred to me. But she's a very close shepherd. So it's an example that how you can be by someone who can help you, but never remembers you when it comes to that area. He only remembers you for other things. But when it comes to that area, like it never crosses his mind. Now, that is how it is. When that thing is happening to you, you lack something. You are lacking something. But I pray for everybody here that whoever must remember you at the right time for the right reason, may God cause them to do so in this month. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Remember you at the right time. So that to not be like, oh, when they have their money, they forget you. That you need help. When the money gets finished, then you pop up. There's something happening to you in the spirit. But tonight, we are going to pray that in this month of October, from now to December, may favor cause us to be remembered. And may favor cause us to attract attention from people who matter. Can I hear your amen? Amen. Lift up your right hand and say, people who matter will attend to me. Say, I am catching the attention of important people, of men and women who can bless me. They will remember me. Not when they don't have what it takes, but when they have what it takes. Clap your two hands and say, I am the one. The same thing happened in Luke chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus was telling a story and Jesus made a reference. And Jesus said, in the days of Elijah, when there was hunger and God wanted to feed a family, there were many widows there. Why this particular widow? Why did God select this particular widow? So there are many people who can get the job that you are looking for. There are many people who are as qualified as you are. There are many people who are as pretty as you are for that marriage, to marry that gentleman or to marry that woman. There are many people who have the intellectual ability like you have, or the certification like that you are. There are many people who are more anointed. There are many people. Why did God choose you? Why should you be the one chosen? Why should the opportunity come to you? Why should you be the one benefiting? There are many who can do what you are doing and even do it better. That's what Jesus said. He said there are many widows. There were many widows in the days of Elijah. But only one was selected by God. I pray that among the many, may you be the one finally selected. Oh, your amen can be a better one. I said, may you be the one finally selected by God. May you be the one finally appointed by God for miracle in this month of October. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Say, I'll be the one. Or say, I will be the one. In my workplace, I will be the one. Among my siblings, I will be the one. Even in the church, I will be the one. In my family, I will be the one. You will be the one finally selected. This month of October, your favor will speak louder. I said your favor will speak louder. I said your favor will speak louder. Clap your two hands together for Jesus. If you clap well, it will be you. The second thing that connected Peter to that great miracle of a net breaking miracle is the key of humility. Is the key of humility. Everybody say humility. I can't hear you say humility. The key of humility. Now, how on earth? Do you know that a lot of people don't listen to young people? Do you know a lot of you do not listen to to younger people? Especially if you're an African or you are from Asia. They don't have regard for one, women. They don't have regard for children. They only respect men who are old. That's Asia and Africa, their problem. I guess what I'm saying. I went to Northern Region, Tamale to be precise, for a crusade with my father, the Archbishop Ajinasare. Then, myself and one of the sons of Archbishop, we visited a village around to see a pastor friend from Bible school and other things. The moment the wife and the ladies in that place met us, they came to lie on the floor, on the ground, to greet us. And I was like, they said, no, that's how women greet in this part of the region. I said, hey, my wife should come and check. When I came home, I told my wife, I said, come and see. The way I was greeted, women were lying down. Wow! I like such a greeting. This Accra style of greeting. This Accra way of greeting. Yeah. The men, wouldn't you love that your women are lying down to greet you? Ah. We like it, Papa. And that was how we were greeted. When you go to Nigeria today, they have some. When you go to voter region, there are some tribes there. When they come to greet, they greet you like this. They greet a woman. You can't and say, baby, you are not correct. Do not marry anybody in the town. You may chat with you. Said, my mommy, good afternoon. No, you can't greet like that. You have to go in and greet. But if you start that one, it can help. Yeah, all the ladies here, start that, it can help. Amen. Amen. If that beautiful lady kneels before you and greet you, won't you be happy? When we close, come and greet that greeting. Very important. It's a nice way to greet. The man will never forget. He's from Accra. He will never forget. Clap your two hands for the Lord. But you see, that is the principle of humility. You see, and that's what's happening in Nigeria. Then they are criticizing that, you see, the pastors, they are worshiping the pastors. No. It's their culture. In their culture, when you see an elderly person, whether a spiritual elder or a physical elder, whatever, you go on your knees. So when they see the bishops, you see that they go and greet them like that. Then people are talking against it on social media that they are worshiping Bishop Oyedepo, worshiping the pastor. No, it's their culture. Recently, I saw one lady apostle, like she's a big woman in Nigeria. When Bishop Oyedepo came, she laid on the ground. That's not the wife or the daughter. She's a big woman. But she laid on the ground to greet Bishop Oyedepo. And people don't understand, no, this is a Yoruba culture. So even though she is an archbishop herself, a woman bishop, she still laid on the ground. She laid prostrate. Amen. Now, say humility. So Peter could have decided not to listen to Jesus. In the first place, not to even give him his boat. Me, I've gone for fishing. Imagine you have, let me use the drivers. You have used your car. You have gone to work all night. Fuel is down. Everything is down. You yourself, you are angry because you've made loss. Then somebody comes and says that, oh, they're dropping me. Oh, no more makeup, makeup, pretty, dropping me free. I'm sure that you will not do it. I'm sure you know. That's exactly what happened to Peter. He has worked all night and had come back. Premise fuel was finished in the motor. And then you come and say, it should give you free ride. So he could have just decided not to listen to Jesus. Moreover, Peter is far older than Jesus. Bible theology will make you, history will make you. Peter was an elderly person. Like the way, like today, I was with Elder Atta. Not you, sit down. Are you Elder Atta? I was with Elder Atta. That's the old man who normally sits behind me. I go to places with him, especially things that has to do with funeral, marriage, and those things. Yeah, because in Ghana here, they will not like to see my face in those kind of things. They will not respect me like Jesus. You see, but they like old people. So in such programs, you will not see me with Pastor Cole, Pastor. No. At all. Worst case. You will see me with the old men. I intentionally do that. So we went for an engagement today. That's Pastor Collins' engagement. And when I am with him, it's what I say that we don't say, sorry, he was holding my water. He was serving me. He was keeping my things. He was making sure, are you okay? Now, this is my father. His firstborn is even older than me. His firstborn. He's only the secondborn I may be a little older than. And the firstborn is older than me. So this is my father. So under normal circumstances, he should not be able. That's a lot of people say, I don't like a church I'm older than. I don't like a pastor I'm older than. Now, Peter was in the same situation. He could have said, no, I will not follow this pastor Jesus. Jesus was just 30 years when he started. Amen. Yeah. So just around my age, that's how Jesus was ministering. And then he was instructing Peter. And a typical Jewish man, old man, they will not listen. They will not listen. But some way, somehow, Peter was humble. And Peter listened to Jesus and gave him the boat. Afterwards, Jesus said, let's go for fishing. And Peter said, I am the fisherman. You are a carpenter. You are young. I've been in this thing all my life. We don't fish in the daytime. It's in that night that we fish. Still, Jesus said, I said, cast your net. He could have said, no. But he was too humble. I said, you let me do what this young guy say. You let me just do it. A lot of people come to the church, they become offended when they see me. Oh, yeah, it's true. It's true. One time, I think when I was with someone, you know, Esther also, yes, but by then she wasn't married. At Kokompe, I think she was in my car. And then we went to do something at Kokompe on mommy's car or something. Then she met a colleague by the roadside. And you know, Esther is a typical sanguine. She started chatting by the roadside happily. So me, I was just standing by the car with another church member. Then she was very quick to introduce me. She said, "Oh, this is my pastor." Then the person asked that church at Odoko Market, that the church at the top, the one you have been going, is that your pastor? The person was so disappointed. So disappointed. So disappointed. That no, I should be an old man. I should have gray hair. By this time, I should have white beard here. Then when you see me, you know that yes, I'm called by God. Wow. But when I appear and I'm a young man, no. They don't like it. When you invited people to the church, unless the ones you invite were young people. But if you invited any mother or father, when I came from my office, I sat down, they checked, is that the pastor's son? In fact, Pastor Enoch had a friend who saw my picture. He's been listening to my message in their room. By then, he was in school in Pentecost University. So he kept playing my message. This is about 5 years or 6 years ago issue. He kept playing my message. And you know, my voice is quite heavy on the airwaves, so you don't know my face. You'll think it's an old man. So the guy finally saw my picture on, 5 to 6 years ago. So you can deduct it from my look today. See how big I was. Then the guy saw my picture on his stats. Then the guy asked him, is that your pastor's son? He's a nice boy. Is that your pastor's son? Then he said, no, that's my spiritual father. Your pastor's son, Anansi, Osofu Nankata. He said, oh, yes, Osofu Nankata. I said, hey, Osofu Nankata. You know, so I am used to it. That's why I stopped going to people's houses myself. If I come to your house right now, your mother will not, she'll be surprised that you are following me. If I come to your house, you show me to your house people that Mr. Funinio, they will tell you don't come again. God is there. Young guy, see. If you go with an old man with big belly, then they'll be asking, true or not true? It's true. That's why I reduce coming to your homes, because I realize that now when I come to your house, rather the effect is negative. You are happy, but the people there become disappointed. So rather when they come here and I pick the mic and I finish my work, then they forget that I'm young. Do you get it? But when I just come to your house, come and visit you, it has something. True or not true? Ima said true. The way he's laughing, he himself is thinking about that. So that was a problem Jesus faced. That's why they never agreed with him. The Pharisees, old men, when were you born? For you to come and tell us that you are God's son. For you to come and tell us. Even what even pained them is when Jesus said that before Abraham was, I am. Hi! They said, look at this small boy. Do you know Abraham? They were so offended in Jesus that this temple that they have built 70 AD, Jesus could open his mouth and say that this temple, I'll break it down in 3 days and I'll raise it up again. They were offended because a small boy should not talk like that. Yes, they said that you don't respect. That's why they spat in his face. Pew! Slapped him. So in our part of the world, if you are young, you are not appreciated. They want you to be old. But all the old people, they started when they were young. There's nobody that has made it today who started old. Go and investigate. Bishop Anastari started preaching when he was 21 years. 21 years when he started doing crusades. He married when he was 23. He married a woman older than him 4 years. His wife is older than him 4 years. He married when he was 23. Are you following me? And today, he's accepted. But when he started in northern region, they didn't accept him. That small boy who has come, he's taking people's money. That's what they used to say about him, because he was taking two offerings. Amen. But Peter humbled himself. You see, that's what I want you to understand. You see, sometimes you don't appreciate the scripture because you don't know the setting. You don't know what was going on when it was written. For Peter to agree among his mates, fishing mates, who were all older than Jesus, to go and cast the net again in the morning. It looks foolish. It's like, old man, are you thinking, well, how are you letting this small boy, who is not even a fisherman, who is younger than you, instruct you? But Peter said, at your word. Say humility. Listen, sometimes you are big, but your blessing is in the mouth of just a very small person around you. Yesterday I told you, Naaman's healing was in the mouth of just his servant, his slave girl. Slave girl, house girl. She led Naaman to Elisha. And sometimes the younger people around you can lead you to your miracle. And I'm pleased to announce to you that as far as God thought it wise to make me your pastor, I may be young as Jesus, but if you can be humble as Peter, your breakthrough is in my mouth. Oh, you didn't clap. Is in my mouth. Amen. Be humble. Tell somebody, be humble. Be humble to the word of God. Be humble to the leadership of your shepherds, your pastor. Your pastor counsels you do this, and it's in line with scriptures. Be humble. It may not agree with your economics background and your accounting background, but if it agrees with scripture and your pastor or someone advises you, you should be humble to listen to it. That was the key to Peter's breakthrough in Luke 5 verse 3. And then James 4 6. But he gives more grace, for he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. From today, God is going to give you grace. He's going to give your business grace. He's going to give you grace for marriage. He's going to give you grace to excel financially. He's going to give you grace to be strong and to be effective in whatever you do with your life. And that grace comes by what? Being humble. He gives grace. Wherever I go, I don't like to be known. I was telling somebody yesterday that I don't like attention. I don't like people to even know that I am the pastor, I am this. But I know people. I know people who, when they come to a place, you don't give them a certain type of chair. Like they are offended, like you, the usher, you see. Do you know who I am? You know those type of people. But I go to places, and excuse me to say, people who have lesser ministries as compared to what God has even given us in this short while, you see them craving all attention. They want to be called with certain titles. If you have ever met me before, introducing myself before, I don't mention title. If you have ever met me in town and maybe I introduce myself to somebody, you hear me say, oh, I'm Prince. It is later, they say, are you Reverend? Are you? I say, oh, I'm Prince. I never mention title. What for? I was telling you, last year some people said they have nominated me. Most influential young pastor, something. They brought design out, blah, blah, blah. It was sent to me, blah, 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 blah. Did you ever hear it here? Never. I said, I'm not interested. Me na me dey me we say I don't want to be popular. I'm not interested. Take your nomination. Let me mind my business. Let me just focus on what God has given me. I'm not interested in people knowing me as something. No. At all. When we went to the outreach, you saw me sitting on the ground, eating. And some of you were saying, some of you posted a picture and said, I saw one woman from another church. She took the picture and did an arrow pointing to me with the cap I've turned backwards, sitting down in the sand eating. And she made it and said that this is the pastor. She said, this is the pastor. Like she was shocked. Meanwhile, the same person you see there, you meet me and I'm doing my work and you'll be like, God just threw me from heaven. Because I'll do it so well by the grace of God. And then you will see me. You come here, meet me. I'm eating with the boys here. You just come here. It's not like they are eating, I'm eating. Like, oh, no, daddy, oh, no. I said, no, I'm eating your food. I'm eating with you. All of us, our hands are inside. We are eating it. So when you see them around me, you can't tell who is the pastor, who is not. And most of the times, I don't like walking and people are following me. They've been following me for years. Ask them. Whenever I'm walking with you, what do I tell you?
Side you.
I said, walk by me. Don't walk behind me. See, when you walk behind me, it's like I'm or Gabby and bodyguards. So I'll be looking back. Say, oh, come. Like, walk. Let's all walk here. So that they will not know who is. So if they want to kill, they should kill all of us. If every day you are in front, they want to kill you now. They can kill you easily. When they wanted to arrest Jesus, you know the soldiers could not make who Jesus out of. They could not. So they said, we need someone to show us. That's how come you went to give him a peg. They could not. I tell them, we are too big. Brah. Sister, you are too big. I said, nobody can marry you. You are too big. You are too big. You are too proud. When I drop this mic right now and you see me on a normal day, you will even be surprised whether I'm the senior pastor. Somebody will have to tell you. You will not know because I mingle with my people. I mingle. One senior man of God came here. He made a statement. He said, I've been watching your pastor's status every time. And whenever he's wishing any of you birthday or he puts any of his pastors, he never writes my son. I don't write that. Meanwhile, you are all my spiritual children. I know people who are craving for fatherhood. But you see me, I'll write. My friend. Then Pastor Enoch could tell me, Daddy, don't say that. I'm your son. You are my friend. You are my brother. You are my friend. You are my brother. Then they rather want me. No. It's a humble. You see, that is why me, I know I can never fail. Not because God called me, but because humility is something that I'm trying to cultivate. Humility. In 7 years, look at what God has done with rescue. In 7 years. From human beings to properties to, like, look at what God has done. Our branches are in temples. Temples. When there are a lot of people older than me who don't have the temple our branches have. Branches, not headquarters. But when you see them alone, the kind of shoe they are wearing. you know apostle is coming. You know. I went to preach somewhere last 2 weeks. Instead of people bowing to me, when I'm greeting people, watch it. I greet like this. This is how I greet. Me that I preach and everybody's coming to koto me. By the time you get to me, I've already kotoed. So let's koto together. I'm not a big man. big man. I'm Jesus' boy. I'm not a man of God. I'm a boy of God. I just love to be boy. Amen. That is why I know that God will have mercy on me. I may not do some things right, but God will just have mercy on me and help me. Because those who are strong, it doesn't help them. Those who believe themselves. But those who think that they are nobodies, those who think that they don't qualify, they don't deserve it, they are the people that God helps. Listen, from this month of October to the close of the year, I'm asking God to give you a certain dimension of grace that will make your hand carry so much, but it comes on the platform of what? Humility. Be humble. Tell somebody by you, please be humble. Bro, once it, watch it. Clap your two hands for the Lord. Be humble. Don't be proud. Be humble. Don't be proud. Number three, the key of service. The key of service. Service is always the way to the top. If you can serve God, if you can serve people, God always lifts you up. If you can serve God, if you can serve people, God always lifts you up. Amen. Those of you who saw me at the outreach, who was the one serving the pastors? The food. I was the one serving the pastors. Jay didn't serve me. I was the one. I went for the food. And I carried it to my pastors. They were like, oh, I said, no. I want to make sure that you guys have eaten. I served them. They didn't serve me. I could have sat in my car waiting. Geo. Geo one. But I went. It was like a whole squad around the food. Everybody was fighting for something. And I went, I said, please, the pastors are there. And I took plates and was taking food. They didn't, I said, oh, no, I want to serve them. I serve my people. Jesus said that I did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus took water, was washing the feet of the disciples. They said, no. Peter said, no. Then Jesus told him, if I don't wash, you will not be a part. God, you will not have the same spirit. Okay, we are not like them. They lord over people, honorable. Then they are ruling over people. But we are servants. Whoever wants to be great must first serve. Listen. You see, there are some of us, when you are around us, it is very, very difficult for you to, how do I put it, to rebel. You see, as for rebellion, it will happen everywhere. Even Jesus, some happened to him. So there are still people who rise up against me. There are still people who leave the church with anger. That one is normal. Even Jesus had it. Heaven, God had one in heaven. He lost one third of the angels. So that one, I'm not too holy than God. But what I'm saying is that there's a way that I relate with people that conscience will break you when you are beginning to think evil. It reduces it, kakra. Are you getting it? That is for service. You see me carrying chairs, parking. You see me. One of the things I feel uncomfortable with is you trying to open gate for me. I'll hold the gate too and open together with you. Whether car, gate, door, mostly when I'm working with my people, you see that they will try to open gate. They are just being, they are honoring their father. It's understandable, but I feel uncomfortable. You see that I'm going to open the car gate, I'll rush and hold it myself. Because somebody may be standing somewhere who was, hey, Charlie, that guy is chopping posto. I'm not interested in it. So I always think ahead. I'm not interested in that. I follow what I'm saying. So serve. You have joined this church. What do you do in the church? Serve. You shall serve the Lord. He shall bless your food and your water. Take sickness out of your midst. Serve and receive the blessing. Serve. There are many, many groups in this church. By the grace of God, it's one of the busiest churches in the world. Oh yes, and we are proud about that. Listen, activity is a sign of living. True or not true? When you start dying, your activities reduce. Have you seen somebody who is dying active before? He walks this way. See that, why buckle? Why? Like, once you are sick, you see that you can't be active. If you want to see a living church, a church that has the Holy Ghost, check activities. It's an active church. Not a church that has, from Sunday, you come back on Sunday. There is activity. There are groups. There are times that the whole place is full of rehearsals. This group is here. That group. So we have partition. We have curtains. We need to divide the room like that. Then we have another group praying here. The same time, prayer people are praying. Pastors are having meeting. This squad is dancing. This squad is singing. This squad is acting. The same small room. When we're in the classroom, we took over the whole school compound. Like when you are passing by, you see one group here, one group there. It's like, I think we are the only church in the school. But there are different churches. But we took over everywhere. Now that's rescue for you. It's a busy church. Tell somebody, rescue is a busy church. We are not dull at all. It's a busy church. The reason is because we are alive. God is proud of us. We have the Holy Ghost. We are active. We are always looking at doing something for God. Serving God. That is what we call service. And amazingly, all the people I started doing that with so many years ago, today, I sit back and I look at them and their lives have transformed. None of them have become hopeless. All the young people I started doing that with, the Pastor Enoch and Co., all of them, they have become. You see, Pastor Enoch was the only person appointed by his boss. The whole a big IT firm in the country. Handling, you see, this recently, there were some group of people who drove car from here to whether Germany or some Dubai, some country. Recently, they did it again. Yes, the computer app that was controlling those fees was managed by PK. Your Pastor Enoch. You are working by giants, but you don't know. Now, these are people that, by the grace of God, went through my hands and are still with me. We served together. We have pictures of our Pastor Enoch carrying speaker. We have closed church. We carry our own speaker. We carry a heavy speaker. I'm talking about as huge as this. Not small. And things like this. And we carry it up and down. Say service. You have come to meet a church that we don't pack out. And still you are doing nothing. You see, in this over here when we say you are an usher, what do? You are just greeting people. Those days when we say you are an usher, you are doing real work. Not doing real work. Yeah, you are just greeting people, giving them something, and then you are just holding your friend back. That one cry, you are not doing it. Tell somebody about you, get something and do in the church. Get something. Get something and do in the church. Join the choir. Join the ashes. Join the boogie stars. Join something. The shepherd's team is the most important team in the church. The shepherd's team. Most important team in the church. Because it will help you to serve God at the highest level. Called soul winning. Like if you say you want to be a soul winner, I don't know what you are waiting for. You should join shepherd's group. And then you will know that you want to be a soul winner. Amen. You shall serve the Lord. I said you shall serve the Lord. You shall serve the Lord. I'm happily serving God. Not because I'm your pastor. That is my lifestyle for my former church. That's how I've always been. I'm not serving God today. I always tell you that because sometimes you may be tempted to think that I'm the pastor here, you know. Not just say, Nuntia. At all. Go and ask. Ask those who know me. Ask Pastor Solomon. Ask Simon. Ask people. Ask Sister Alexandra Dickness. Ask them. They know me when I was a young person. The whole talk or nobody who will see me or not say that or suffer. Preaching everywhere. from a 10 years old, class 5. That's when I started preaching. That's when I... So, I'm not serving God. It's not like today I'm your pastor, so I'm asking you to serve God. I'm only asking you to do what I've been doing for years. If the thing is fake, I would have stopped it. If it doesn't work, I wouldn't have introduced you into it. Amen. Do we introduce people into cults that is not producing any result? If the thing helps you, before you introduce someone, initiate someone into it. The thing has helped me. Serving God has blessed me. Whatever I have today is as a result of serving God. I don't have anything anyway. Amen. You shall serve the Lord. I said you shall serve the Lord. This month of October, connect yourself to something. Join something. Join something. Come and sweep. Come and clean. Sunday morning, 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, you come and meet people cleaning here. Come and meet people. Come and clean. Nobody will see you and clap for you. But God is the rewarder. Do something in your church. Join the choir. Join the team of instrumentalists. Join protocol team. You can help. You can do something. You are not strong for nothing. You can do something. You can clean. You can do something. You can help. You can be a shepherd. You can win souls. Your whole area, you can conquer your whole area. Just you. You just need the right training. Join the shepherd's team and serve the Lord. And serve people wherever you are. Serve people in your workplace. Serve people in your house. Serve people. It will open doors for you. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Matthew 20, 26 and then Luke 5, verse 3. Jesus requested for the boat. And Peter served Jesus by giving his boat. For him to give his boat. Do you know the most annoying thing? Do you know that Jesus didn't just say, give me your boat? Jesus told him that push your boat in front. Like the impudence. If you have said, oh, my maintenance boat is one thing. But to tell him, say, Mumpia, have you ever seen them pulling a boat before? They have to put some rollers under so that they can be pulled by. So for you to tell him that pull the boat, a Juma, no wonder he got a bumper harvest, a net breaking miracle. Go back and serve the people in your workplace. Yes, be the John. Be the John among them. Be the tuk-tuk. Be the foolish one. As a wuna de biano, uye donkey job, no. One of these days, grace will find you. I said, one of these days, grace will find you. They think they are fooling you, but very, very soon, the grace of God will come upon you. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Then, the next thing is the key of seizing word. Peter said, at your word. At your word. So you need the word of God. That's why I keep giving you the word of God. You see, don't be missing church for anything. Because always you need the word of God. Tonight I have come with the word of God. I'm giving you. What I'm saying is somebody's miracle. What I'm saying is somebody's key. If the person just listens to what I'm saying, practices it, he's gone. He doesn't need any anointing oil. At your word. So somebody sitting down listening to me says that, what pastor has said, I'm going to work it. I'm going to be humble from today. I'm believing God that I'll change the way I think. I will not be proud. I'll decide to be a nobody in my own eyes and serve people. Like, that is the meaning of at your word. At the instruction you are given. At the instruction you are given. You are being taught on tithing. You say, at your word. Even though tithing, you know, when you are paying, yeah, but at your word. Even though sacrifice when you are doing, yeah, but at your word. It's like, there are things that don't tell about at your word. At your word. Are you following me? Are you following me? Oh, you don't like my word tonight? At your word. John 8:32, he said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the word of God, you know, is what can bring you freedom. You are blessed to be in this house because every day when you come, you hear a powerful word of God. Yeah, you hear a powerful word of God. The key of obedience. He obeyed. He didn't just hear, he obeyed. As I'm speaking, you're all hearing. Some of you are laughing, but as to whether you are going to obey, it's another thing. Whether I'm going to obey the word of God, I'm going to obey the preaching that I'm preaching, is another thing. Then finally, all these are in the Bible. Luke 5, verse 5 and 6. He obeyed, and then he said, at your word, I will obey. And then he caught many fishes. Then the last one, the key of faith. He believed. Jesus said in Mark 9, 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou will believe, all things are possible unto him who believes. So he believed. He believed. If he did not believe Jesus, he would not have gone through all those things just because Jesus has instructed. But he believed. And then he got his miracle. As you believe in this month of October, may you get your own miracle. I said, may you get your own miracle. Before December comes, may things begin to change in your life. Clap your two hands and rise up to your feet.
There is power in your name.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.